Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Reading verses 5 and 6 to get started tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says in verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Wednesday night service. We thank you for those who make the extra effort to come out. I know that Wednesday is a difficult evening for many. They work, they go to school, they have responsibilities and duties. And Father, yet they come, and I just pray you'd bless them for it. They honor you with their presence. And I pray, as you promised in your word, you would honor them. Now, my Lord, I pray that you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word tonight. Guide us and direct us in all that's said and done. Magnify yourself, glorify your son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1, we have the biblical definition of faith. In verses 2 through 40, we have men and women who are listed as illustrations of faith. Men and women who believed God, and because they believed God, they did what they did. Faith pleases God, verse 6. And faith is believing God, verse 6. Faith is believing God is, and that he is as he says he is, and that he does what he says he will do. Faith is then living and acting in accordance. Now, faith goes beyond mouthing of words to being doers from the heart. When the Lord Jesus was here, he talked about people who had to say a lot of things, but their hearts really weren't in it. He said in Matthew 15:8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writing to the believers there, and he's talking about being a servant, and we are servants of the Lord. And he said we should not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Living by faith is when the hands do and the feet go, directed by a heart that believes. And as far as those rewards are concerned, they are earned by the works of faith. Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." The first book in the New Testament. We go to the last book in the New Testament, Revelation 22:12, and he repeats, he says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And so the rewards are earned by works of faith. And when you believe that God will reward you according as your work shall be, it will make a difference in how you live. And if you don't, it won't. And one day it'll matter. So the more it matters now, the better it will be then. Let's look at a few men whose feet moved in conjunction with their faith. Go to John chapter 19, if you would. Our first point tonight, John chapter 19. Point number one is this. We're talking about feet. Point number one, that step up to the cross. Feet that step up to the cross. John 19, verse 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." The disciple whom Jesus loved, referred to in these verses, is the writer himself, John. Early tradition and church fathers unanimously agreed that this was John. He's referred to in such a way 6 times in the Gospel of John. With John, we find his faith overcoming his fear. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, the Bible says, "But all this was done," this was at the arrest of Christ, "but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." How many of the disciples fled? How many of the disciples forsook Jesus? All of them. That would include John, wouldn't it? They ran away like little girls. But I get it. They feared for their lives. They responded by the fight or flight instinct of self-preservation. And this was a fear of people. Now in Psalm 56:11, the Bible says, "In God have I put my trust," listen now, "I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." And then in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Now John had read these verses all his life. He had been taught these verses in the synagogue and by his family all his life. You know, sometimes we know all the words, but we don't believe the words. We're all good at quoting scripture, but what about living the scripture we quote? We all know promises from God, but how about living in light of the promises that we know that God has given us? Sometimes we know the words, but we don't believe the words. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul reiterates what David wrote, what Solomon wrote. He says this, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?"
That's right.
But now we find John, who had run away and who perhaps had been hiding, now we find John at the foot of the cross, standing with the courageous women that were mentioned there. What happened? Well, somewhere as he ran and perhaps was hiding, John's love for the Lord Jesus caused his faith to override his fear.
Amen.
You know, John started out afraid, but he ended up in faith. He repented. That's what he did. He changed his mind about running away. He changed his mind about being beaten. He changed his mind about even being killed. And he changed his mind about where he stood with Jesus. And now, by faith, he was willing to step up to the cross and be counted as a friend of Jesus. He's now willing to be seen. He's now willing to be known. Dear Christian, there may be times in life when being associated with Jesus could mean persecution or hurt, harm, or even death. And fear will cause us to run and hide. There may be times when the Lord's enemies outnumber his friends, like in the garden that night. But where will you stand? There may be times when it might cost you something to stand beneath the cross, or will you flee? It seems that it's becoming increasingly more unpopular to be known as a disciple of Christ. And safety may require standing aloof and viewing from a distance rather than stepping up to the cross and being counted among his friends and those who love him. Did you hear what I just said? As we go further and further into the end times and the era of Laodicea and the lukewarmness of the church and the falling away, It may be easier just to stand over on the hillside and look at the cross and say, I love you, Jesus. But it will take faith to go step up to the cross and be counted and be seen and be known. In this 21st century, we need to overcome our fear of ridicule, unpopularity, persecution, and hurt, and step up to the cross and be willing to be counted as a friend of Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. We'll look at point number 2. Not only do we need to step up to the cross, but Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, we need to step out of the boat. John 14, verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Of course, this is a story of Peter walking on the water. It's an incredible story of faith. And most of us know the story well, and I've preached on it many times. But tonight I want to address it one more time. We have a situation in the life of Peter that is full of tension and anxiety and fear. A situation where his very life is at stake, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been out on the deep waters when a storm is brewing up, but believe me, it can be frightening. Especially in the darkness of night. Because in the darkness of night, with a storm rocking your little boat around, you know there's no help. If that boat goes down, most likely you're going down. Your life flashes before your face, if you will. And now the Lord Jesus calls Peter to walk with him on the water. And Peter's faith overcomes his fear. And he steps out of the boat. You might say, yeah, well, he began to sink because of doubt. To which I say, yeah, but he stepped out of the boat. I don't want to hear about how he sank. I don't want to hear about how he looked at the storm and all that. Hey, he stepped out of the boat. That's more than the other disciples did. He stepped out. How? By faith. Jesus said, come, and he said, okay.
Amen.
That's incredible.
Amen.
I can imagine some of the disciples trying to hold him back. Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you crazy? No, I'm going to go walk in the water with Jesus. He just said, come, I'm going to go. Boy, that's great faith, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, but he started to sink. Yeah, but he sure had great faith when he stepped out. There may be times in your life, dear Christian, when God will call you to step out of the boat and walk with him in difficult places, in frightening places, and even impossible places.
Right.
And fear will try to persuade you to stay in the boat, to stay where it's safe, to stay where you know you can handle it, to stay and have at least some modicum of control. Listen, I don't have much control in this boat, but I got some. If I step out on the water, I have no control. That's what fear does. It hampers us. It holds us back from stepping out when Jesus calls. Yes, Peter eventually began to sink because he got his eyes off of Christ. I can imagine Peter, he stepped out by faith. He's walking by faith on top of the water. And then he's human, right? Is he a human being? Can you imagine him saying, what am I doing out here? Listen, I jumped out of an airplane. Guy took me up in an airplane, put a parachute on me, made me crawl out on the wing and hold on to the wing like this. And he said, when I say three, you let go. I looked down, farms look like postage stamps. He said, if you don't let go, he picked a hammer up. He said, I'm going to hammer your fingers with this hammer. Because if you don't let go when I say three, you're endangering us all. He said, 1, 2, 3, poof, I let go. That plane went, pew, was gone in a second. And the first thing I thought of, what in the world am I doing up here? I can imagine what Peter thought, huh? I had a parachute. He didn't have a life raft. He didn't have a life vest on. I can hear Peter saying this. I can't walk on the water. I can't walk on the water. I can hear him saying, this is too big for me. This is too much for me. I mean, it's like sensory overload. And that's all true. But he's not alone. You know, sometimes we think we're all alone when we're not. Now, if he had stepped out alone, down he goes. But he's not alone. Jesus is there. Matthew 28:20. Didn't Jesus say, lo, I am with you always? Even unto the end of the world? Amen? Didn't Jesus promise that? Didn't he say that to you and to me through his word? He said, lo, I'm with you always. Wherever you go, whatever you do, wherever you're at, I'm there. Just look. He's there. Sometimes we think that we have to do things by ourselves. And we don't. Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With men it's impossible to walk on the water. But with God, it's possible. With men, it's impossible to do a lot of things that God asks us to do. But with him, it's possible. But it takes faith. Perhaps God's calling you out of your boat, but you've been reluctant because you either don't believe God or don't care to trust God. But either way, you'll miss doing something with Jesus that only he could enable you to do. If Peter would have stayed in the boat, he'd have missed out doing something with Jesus that only Jesus could enable him to do. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me. To do things with Jesus, things only he can enable you to do. And then when they're done, you look back at him and you say, wow, Lord, how do we do that? And he just says, it's me. It's all him. But faith makes you step out to walk with him in difficult places, perilous times, dangerous places. If you want to walk with Jesus, it will necessitate times when you must step out of the boat. Number three, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse 32 is the verse we'll start with. Point number three, we have to step up to the cross. We need to step out of the boat. Number three, we need to step into the fight. 1 Samuel 17:32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, this is the familiar account of young David killing Goliath the giant. We've heard this story. Some of us have seen the flannel graphs. We've watched the videos. And we've seen all the teaching aids that depict this battle. We are all encouraged by David's faith, but are we willing to follow in the footsteps of David's faith? What did the grown men, the seasoned warriors, and the mighty men of Israel think about Goliath? Look at verse 25. And all the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? They're not asking, hey, did you see him? No, they're saying, have you seen this guy? I mean, he's huge. Look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They're all paralyzed by fear. And here is this young lad who quickly and confidently says in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And of course, they chided him by saying in verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Isn't that amazing how people like to shoot down the enthusiasm of others? How people like to shave down the courage of others and try to dissuade those who have faith from big things? Oh, you can't do that. You're just a kid. What do you know about war? You can't do that. What do you know about it? But David knew better because he had been prepared by God for just this occasion. Look at verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Now I know Saul said go, a little tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure. You know, it's probably saying, well, go ahead. You want to kill yourself? Go ahead. Dear Christian, God has been preparing you for something all your life. Whether you are young or whether you are old. David was a young man. And yet God had prepared him here and there and here and there in this circumstance and that situation with this thing and that thing. For what? For this moment. God's been preparing you all your life. Even when you were unsaved, God knew you. And he worked. I don't know about you. I look back and see in my unsaved existence how God worked many times. I wasn't aware of it. I didn't see it. But now I see it. And when you get to see the face of the giant, you dare not allow your fear to overcome your faith, but your faith to overcome your fear. This was David's moment. It was a moment in time foreordained by God. This was an encounter for which David was prepared by God. David did not go forth with some misplaced machoism or self-generated bravado. He went forward by faith in God. And there was a victory on the other side of that giant, and only faith could take David there. Do you see that? God's prepared you all your life for maybe something you're facing now or something you will face, and there's victory on the other side of the giant, and only faith can get you over there. It's been asked why David chose five smooth stones in this account, when really faith would only require one, right? Well, no one really knows why he chose five. It's been suggested that the other four were for Goliath's four brothers. But I suggest that David took them just in case he missed. Oh, he knew he could land a killing blow, but maybe not on the first or even the second try. He was human, right? Was he human?
Right.
Now, it was not that he doubted God, but perhaps he doubted himself. He trusted in God to keep him calm. That's why the first one worked. You know, when I go hunting, I take three shells. Now, 95% or more of the time, I only need one. But I take three, just in case. Because it'll be the time I take one that I'll miss. I go home with two shells almost every time I go out hunting. My daughter bought me a couple boxes of shells. I'll have to put them in my will because I'll never use them all. I can understand why David took five. Maybe it was for the other four brothers. Okay, all right, that's wonderful. But maybe it was because he said, you know what? He picked up one and he said, I better take a couple more. Just in case. I mean, he could miss. God can't miss. But David could miss. No, there's a difference between presumption and faith. We need, you know, God is preparing us all our life for a moment, but then we need to be prepared ourselves for that moment. This giant was not too much for David because he'd been prepared by God for a giant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's not going to take you into a situation and drop you off and walk away.
That's right.
Well, I hope you do okay, kid. No. He'll always be, what did he say? I am with you always. To where? The end of the world. Dear Christian, there are battles to be won. And you will only win them by faith. And you will only win them if you step into the fight. Don't let the naysayers and the doubters and the fearful keep you back with them. Be willing to step into the fight. And then my last one is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. We go back to Hebrews chapter 11, where we started. And it's at verse 5. I read it for you earlier. So we step up to the cross. We step out of the boat. We step into the fight. Lastly, we step over to glory. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was translated by God and did not see death. The word translated means to transfer from one place to another. It means to remove. It means to carry away. And so Enoch was transferred from earth to heaven. He was removed from earth to heaven. He was carried away into heaven. And it says that Enoch had a testimony. And his testimony was that he pleased God. You want that to be your testimony? That you please God? Well, what was it about Enoch that pleased God? Verse 6. The very next verse, following speaking about Enoch, it says, but without faith, he just said Enoch pleased God, right? Now he says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch pleased God because he was a man who walked by faith. Didn't God say it's impossible to please him without faith? And then he said Enoch pleased him. So what does that tell us? That tells us that Enoch was a man of faith. He was a man who walked by faith. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 says this, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Man, when I read that, I get all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, I just picture Enoch, you know, he's just walking with God, and he just goes, right up, walks right up the sky into heaven. That's a miracle. It's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine? That's what I want to, I'd like to do that someday. I want to walk by faith until I walk right up into the air with Jesus.
Amen.
Now, there'll be a generation of people who are going to walk up into the air with Jesus called the rapture, but not everybody is going to be walking by faith and pleasing God when they go up. But I would like to be. How about you?
That's right, yeah.
Wouldn't you like to have a testimony that you pleased God? You know, wouldn't it be nice if the angels in heaven are looking over and looking at you and says, man, she pleases God. Hey, there's a girl that pleases God. Hey, there's a guy that pleases God. That's a good testimony, amen? Wouldn't you like that to be God's testimony of you? If we want to walk pleasingly to the Lord, we must walk by faith. We must allow our faith to overcome our earthbound fears so we can walk with God. 2 Corinthians 3:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The godly walk is the walk of faith. The worldly walk is the walk of sight. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, here it is, unto all pleasing. Paul's telling the Colossians, I want you to walk worthy of Jesus. I want you to walk unto all pleasing. And what is a worthy walk that is pleasing unto God? The walk of faith. By faith, we overcome the fear of men and we step up to the cross. By faith, we overcome the fear of situations and we step out of the boat. By fear, we overcome the fear of enemies and step into the fight. And one of these days, we'll step over to glory forever.
Amen.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Dear Christians, do you have a fear of men in general? Or perhaps you have a fear of some particular person? Are you intimidated by your circumstances and situations and fear keeps you in the boat? Are you threatened by the enemy and fear keeps you from going forward? Have you failed to see that God's been preparing you all your life? Tonight, why don't you step up to the cross and be counted? Tonight, why don't you step out of the boat and walk with God? Tonight, why don't you step into the fight and win the battle? And one day, you'll step over to glory and hear, well done. But perhaps there's someone here tonight or watching or listening, you've never been saved. Do you understand that all of these things in the world are purposely designed to distract you and keep you from the Lord Jesus? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Tonight, take off the blinders and see Jesus tonight for who he is, the God-man, for what he's done. He died, was buried, and rose again as the Savior, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stop. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you trust Christ as your Savior tonight? Why don't you just turn yourself over to him and say, Lord, here am I, a sinner that needs to be saved, and I'm trusting you as that Savior. Maybe there's someone here tonight that say, preacher, I need to do that. And I'd like to pray and ask Christ to be my Savior right here in my seat. I'd like to help you. Let's pray together, just you, me, and God, and you can trust Christ and be saved right where you sit, and you can step over into glory someday with us. Anybody like that here tonight? If you're watching or listening, take care of it before it's eternally too late. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you for loving us. Father, sometimes fear has a crippling effect in our lives as Christians. It shuts down our faith. But our faith is given to overcome our fear. You've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So help us, my Lord, that we might, in any of these areas where we need to step up, step out, or step in, because one day we're going to step over. I pray you guide and direct in the invitation, and if there's anyone here that needs to be saved, that they might come and meet me at the front and get saved and have eternal life tonight. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand with me. We're going to sing number 89. Number 89, please, in your hymn books. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? Maybe about a fear, maybe about a concern. Maybe about he's calling you somewhere. Maybe he's preparing you for something. Maybe you've been a little timid to step up to the cross and be counted. I don't know. Maybe you just want to come and thank him tonight and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you need to get saved, you come and see me. We'll talk about it, all right? As we sing number 89.